There's this painting that I used to find myself compelled to stare at. It hung on the office wall of the pastor that I worked with at my first job in ministry. The pictures of Jesus walking on water, a famous and much talked about moment in the Gospels. But this picture's different. Most of the time, when you see images of this powerful moment in history, it's as if it were drawn by a passive observer. Jesus is standing on a wave, coming towards this small boat, and the rough waters of the Sea of Galilee are all around. But the vantage point is disconnected and distant. This painting, however, is different. It captures a very specific moment in the story. Jesus has called Peter to step out of the boat and walk on water. Shockingly, Peter does exactly that. In fact, he's the only one of a dozen people who are in that boat who's bold enough to step out onto the water and follow Jesus. But as the text says, a moment later, Peter has taken his eyes off of Jesus and started focusing on the crashing waves of the storm that surrounds him. As Peter fills with fear and panic, he drops into the drink. This painting is from the perspective of Peter as he's sinking under the waves. It's drawn from the vantage point of one who's looking up at the last glimmers of light dancing across the moving water as he sinks down into a dark abyss. That's the setting of the painting, but it isn't the focus. The focus is on Jesus' hand breaking through the despair of the abyss and offering renewed hope. As you stare at that image, it's hard not to have something stir inside of you. I'm not much of an art guy, but I could stare at that picture for hours. Because the reality is, I'm Peter. I'm the one who's sinking. I'm the one who needs hope. I'm the one who is desperately needing to take that hand and be pulled out of that abyss. There have been at least a few times in my life where I felt like I was sinking. The waters, the dark abyss consuming me. Some moments have been more pronounced or at least more memorable than others. For instance, when I was in high school, I went through a long season where I really didn't like much of anything about myself. I felt like most others didn't like me. And I questioned what my ongoing value and existence really had. So one day, during some free time in swim class, I let myself sink to the bottom of the pool. In that season of life's storms, and acutely in that moment, I felt so little, so without value, that I just sunk to the bottom of the pool and stared up at the dancing water on the surface, feet above me, and I wrestled with whether or not I should come back up. And if I did, would it even make a difference? Now, you could dismiss this as youthful angst, but that sort of battle isn't an imaginary friend that we leave in childhood. While I've never sat at the bottom of the pool waiting for my lungs to burn like that again, I have struggled with some aspects of my mental health into my adult life. I've had to come to terms with the fact that I have an absent father wound from my childhood. And one of the ways it expresses itself and continues to cause struggle within me to this day is that I always assume in my deepest, unfiltered thoughts that people don't like me, don't want to be around me, and at best, merely tolerate me as they get to know me. This is especially true with men. I find it difficult to develop close community with guys because without trying to think this way, something deep down the abyss that enshrouds my soul is telling me that I'm of little value to others and I don't belong in the company of other guys. Those waters are deep. They've shaped me. But that painting reminds me that there's hope. There is a hand to reach out to. There is a way out of the abyss. And hope is something I think we could all use a little more of right now. This is a difficult season for everyone. Over the course of this series, we're going to take a look at a few of the major difficult trends that have shot up during this current pandemic. You see, recent global internet search trends show that people are struggling more than they ever have in areas of mental health, loneliness, isolation, marital disharmony, pornography addiction, financial woes, and fear for the future. These are storms that have overtaken us in the midst of this pandemic. See, we focus a lot on COVID as the pandemic that has swept the globe, but in many ways, that storm has revealed these other storms that were already growing in strength and destruction. So how do we overcome these storms? Throughout this series, we're going to focus on the promise that is found in Romans 8:37. It says this, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." The New Living Translation says it just a little differently. It says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Now, I know that feels difficult to accept right now. These storms are big. In fact, this storm is bigger than we can handle. But Jesus is standing with us to overcome this storm. There's another painting that I've seen going viral on social media lately. It's also one of rocky seas, but instead of one boat filled with terrified disciples, this has lots of boats of all different shapes and sizes. And the picture is captioned by a phrase that I've latched onto in this season. It says, "We're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats." That is so true. We are all in the same storm. Thanks to this global pandemic, it marks perhaps the first time in recorded history that every human being, every country, every person, regardless of gender, race, or politics, is facing the same storm. But we're all trying to navigate it from different boats. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, in a December 2019 posting, nearly 1 in 5 U.S. adults live with some form of mental illness that impacts the way that they live their daily lives. This means that prior to COVID, 46.6 million Americans over the age of 18 were struggling with some form of diagnosable mental illness. Closely tied to this, suicide is the second leading cause of death among 10 to 34-year-olds. The fourth leading cause of death among 35 to 54-year-olds, and the 10th leading cause of death in our country overall. In fact, to show just how long we've been in this storm, suicide rates have increased 28% between 1999 and 2016. The reality is that even before COVID made our lives exponentially harder, 1 in 5 human beings in our nation already, to some degree, felt like they were slipping into an abyss. And it's likely that those trends have gotten worse in this current storm. This storm is real, and it's something that the church needs to acknowledge and talk about. The Bible doesn't hide that we as humans made in God's image can struggle with our mental health. King David, one of the people lifted up as an exemplar in Scripture, seemed to often struggle with mental health. Some modern biblical scholars believe that he may have struggled with something like bipolar disorder. Both Jonah and Elijah prayed to God to die because they didn't feel that they could go on. Jeremiah, another prophet, also seemed to show deep signs of mental struggle. I mean, there's an entire book written by him in our Bible that's called Lamentations. Lamenting is an old word that means the passionate expression of grief or sorrow through weeping. That's why Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet, a nickname that stuck in his legacy for thousands of years. The Bible is honest about the fact that even some of its greatest heroes seem to struggle with what we would now call mental health struggles. And yet this didn't cause God to run away from them. In fact, it didn't even cause God to stop working in the lives of these men who would come to change our world. Church should be a place where people are able to talk openly about their mental, physical, and spiritual health. God created us, mind, body, and soul, so we as the church want and need to walk alongside each other in this storm as a life-giving community who are leading each other to become more like Jesus in every area of our lives. So why don't we talk about this as a church? I can't speak for other churches, but I'll be completely transparent about ours. In preparing for this message, I couldn't shake the question, what if I handle it wrong? What if I don't say enough? What if my little mental issue of feeling in my hidden and deeper thoughts like I'm not enough for others to want to be around doesn't measure up to someone who's struggling with the depths of depression? The enemy of our souls actually tries to use our thinking. He tried to use my thinking against me to make me believe that maybe I don't struggle enough with my mental health to have anything to say. And the reality is, I am not a licensed counselor. This message shouldn't replace the care of mental health professionals. In fact, maybe this message will help you finally feel free to reach out to someone. So let's be open together and talk about this. Let's recognize the storm we're in. We've tried to ignore it for far too long, and look where that has gotten us. Let's recognize that it's okay to not be okay right now. We don't have to gloss over our pain with a spiritual veneer. It's okay to recognize that we are like Peter sinking into the abyss. But may we also recognize there is hope. See, this storm is bigger than we can handle, but Jesus is standing with us to overcome it. Turn with me to the words of the weeping prophet in Lamentations. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to check out the Bible app and download it to your device of choice. It's a helpful tool in your spiritual growth. Lamentations 3, 20 through 22 says, "My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." This verse is a powerful tool to help us refocus our minds on health. There are two things with one purpose that Jeremiah says to us here. First of all, Jeremiah admits to what appears to be a level of depression. He allows himself before God to feel it. He doesn't hide it or sweep it away as if it wasn't there. And let's be honest, he has good reason to be depressed. See, God asked Jeremiah to call out other so-called prophets of the day as false prophets who weren't serving God. That didn't make him very popular, to say the least. Then he had to tell people about how their nation, the nation of Israel, was crumbling before their eyes because of people's destructive patterns caused by leaving their faith in God. Jeremiah was attacked by his own brothers. He was beaten by a priest. He was imprisoned by the king, threatened with death, thrown in a pit by government officials, and so much more. In the midst of this, Jeremiah is open with his struggle. "My soul is downcast within me" isn't spiritual fluff. He was pointing towards his depression. He was calling it out before God. One small step in overcoming our storm is to just be honest that the storm is bigger than we can handle on our own. There's freedom in simply acknowledging our pain and getting it out into the open to find healing. It's been said before that the first step in overcoming a problem is recognizing that there is a problem. But the weeping prophet didn't stop there. Notice what he says next. "My soul is downcast within me, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." Like that painting that I could stare at for hours, Jeremiah felt the waves wash over him. He acknowledged the abyss was pulling him down. That was his perspective. But notice how he shifts the focus. He says when he calls to mind the love of Jesus, he finds hope. When he focuses his mind on the reality of God's love for him, he is not consumed. And this storm is bigger than we can handle. Jesus is standing with us to overcome it. There's a very similar focus in the verse that guides this series as well. Romans 8:37 says, despite all of these things, it doesn't dismiss that there are things against us. In fact, it highlights them. Yet it continues that despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And that word through is very important. It tells us something. If you're struggling with mental health issues, it's okay to admit that you're not okay. And there isn't some magic bullet that you need to do to fix everything. It's not through you. It's through God's love for you. We have victory through Jesus' care and heart for us. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And he's not asking you to do more to earn his love or your peace of mind. He's simply asking you to rest and allow his love to reframe your perspective and focus. When we shift our focus from the drowning in the abyss to that hand that's plunging in to save us, when we don't ignore the setting of our storm but can still shift our focus, we allow ourselves to marinate in something better. At the start of this pandemic, I preached a message that included the illustration of how to make a pickle. I took two near identical cucumbers and I placed them into two identical jars. However similar these two things were, what they've been soaking in for over 9 weeks now is very different. One jar I filled with vinegar, the other bleach. At first, it was hard to see much difference in the two pickles. For a week or two, they still looked pretty much the same. However, after a month, things started to really turn. The pickle that was marinating in something that was good for it became healthier. But the pickle that was marinating in bleach started to succumb to the abyss. Now, 9+ weeks later, it's easy to see the difference in these two once similar gherkins. It highlights the power of shifting our focus. Jeremiah could have easily focused on the beatings. He could have focused on the people who were leaving him. But instead, he chose to focus on the God who helps all of us overcome our storms. It's not like he didn't see the storm. I mean, he wrote an entire book of laments. He was honest with his pain. But even when he was sunk by the storm, he learned to focus on that hand breaking through the waters. He marinated in God's care and love for him. What about you? Where is your focus? No one could fault you for looking at all of the things that are going wrong. No one could fault you for feeling the brokenness inside of yourself and in our world. It's okay to not be okay. But we start to overcome the storm in our lives when our focus shifts from the storm to the one who calms the storms. When we dwell or focus our thoughts on the problems, the abyss consumes us. But when we focus on the love that God has for us, the love that recognizes our faults, our failures, our warts, our sagging skin, our broken promises, and our sin, and yet loves us with a passion that we have yet to fully understand, a love that meets us where we are and yet also lifts us up out of the abyss to show us a way that actually leads to life, when we shift our focus to something better, eventually it comes out. We may not notice immediately, but it can change things. When we see that our victory isn't earned through one more thing that we need to do to fix ourselves, something we have to change in ourselves immediately, when we realize that our victory is through Jesus, it comes from him, and it's completely ours through him, things can begin to change. Years ago, I was at a conference, and the speaker gave this illustration, which helped me immensely in this area. It's one that I'll never forget. He was talking about being at a train station and waiting for his train to arrive. As he awaited, he noticed that several other trains kept coming into the station. He also noticed that he had no control over the trains that were coming in. Each train was going to come into the station, whether he wanted it to or not. As he sat there, he began to feel a spiritual parallel rising up. Our thoughts, he noted, are like those trains. No matter how hard we try, there are thoughts that seem to come into the station despite our best efforts. We can't control the thoughts that come into the station, but we can control which trains of thought we choose to get on and ride to the end of the line. I see this practice alive and well in my friend Judy. Judy started helping out in the office a couple years ago to fill a need. And back at the start of 2019, when things really started going haywire in our lives and many huge issues and events that I've talked about before started coming up, Judy started saying something that always helps me shift my focus. Things aren't falling apart, she says. They're falling into place. The storm is there, and it's big. The destructive trains of thought that the enemy will try to bring into our minds and hearts are going to come into the station, whether we want them to or not. The abyss can sweep over our heads. But what do we choose to make our focus? Do we focus on the sinking, or do we focus on the hand? Do we focus on the storm, or do we focus on the God who calms the storm in our mind, body, and souls? Can we stop for a moment and feel the love that God has for us, even as we're sinking into the abyss? This storm is bigger than we can handle. But Jesus is standing with us to overcome it. We are all in a storm right now. In some ways, we're in the same storm, but again, we're in different boats, and we're all handling the storm differently. As we begin this series, Overcoming the Storm, I want you to know something that I want to say as boldly as I know how to say it. Jesus doesn't just want you to survive this storm, though that's certainly where he will start. He wants to help you overcome it. In fact, Jesus doesn't just want to help you survive your past storms or just survive the next storm. He is a God who not only lifts us up out of the abyss, he teaches us to walk on water. This is the hope that we can focus our minds on. Whatever struggles we're facing, they're huge. They're real. They are there. They matter. And God will help us overcome them. He will bring us through his love, not through something we can do or achieve, to a place of deep joy, peace, love, faith, and hope. I can't control the trains of thought that come into my head, but I can choose which ones I get on. I can't control the storms that come into my life, but I can choose whether I focus on the abyss or focus on the hand breaking through the water. My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. I mentioned that the hope we're looking for isn't in something that we do. It isn't in something we earn. It isn't our ability to save ourselves. It's the free gift of Jesus, who took all of our pain and failures and doubts and broken moments and not only paid for them, but redeemed them and restored them on the cross to give us hope. See, I often end my messages with a challenge. And I don't want to confuse things or leave you thinking, okay, here's the bait and switch. Here's what I really have to do. It's not about that, but there is something we can practice that might help us shift our focus. It helps to choose a better train of thought to ride. So I want to encourage you to shift your focus during this series. So for each of the next 6 weeks, we're going to end with the same set of verses. This section of scripture isn't the silver bullet to solving your depression or anxiety. It isn't that one thing that fixes everything. But like the weeping prophet Jeremiah, as we take hold of God's word and hide it in our hearts, it will begin to change us. Throughout this series, I want to ask you to try to memorize, a little at a time, Romans 8:31 through 39. This verse speaks directly to how we can recognize the storms of life, but focus our thoughts on the one who gives us hope and helps us overcome the storm. This section of God's truth can help us to overcome these destructive trains of thought that come into our head and heart and give us a renewed hope as we focus on God's true heart for us. So let's read this together. And I encourage you to write this down, to print it off, to keep it with you. Read it every day over the next 6 weeks. And as you're able, bring it to mind. Memorize even just a part of this. Because this storm is bigger than we can handle. But Jesus is standing with us to overcome it. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May we marinate on that. May we focus our mind on something better. And may we see the hand that breaks through the abyss and teaches us to overcome this storm. We've got more to say about this, so I want to encourage you to check back in every week as we continue this series. God bless.